There you are, members. It's our time. And I think we have to be done by half past 12. What time is it? Half past 11. Better have a day. I'm so mind. That's my job. It's over mine.
First of all, I think we would like to appreciate the presentation. Thank you for the presentation. A lot of questions we had before. Because when we visited Wazunagat as an oversight committee, we found that the people that were not supporting the ground, they were in a state of rebellion, whereby they were rejecting the CIDP in its reality because they saw it as a starting block. But part of the problem has been addressed because some of the things they raised, you write a letter, send an application to the CIDP, 6 months down the line there's no response. You don't know where you are. And then we promised them that we'll meet the CIDP so that something is done about that. Because they, I think that as a parastatal, as a body which is formed by government, I think that it must comply with that in principle. When people are going to get a service from a government entity, they must be told even beforehand what type of service they are going to get, what they are not going to get. Because definitely if they had so much expectations and then they were actually, if they were not there, I think they were going to push their entity that they must jump off the CIDP, but we have intervened. Told them what are the benefits of having the CIDP in place. Why? But I think that I appreciate that what was relating is the part that before you absorb the services of the conductors of the I think that's where the problem was. Because that's why the first question I was going to ask, what is your organic level? Well, how many people are ready? How going to be in Wazunata headquarters? What? Because they said that they made application almost 6 months ago. They are not coming back. They go there to Pretoria. They are not helping. Well, of course, those are the things. So that the first thing is also to organogram. Well, of course, how many people are going to say this many contractors? How many people? How did you train them? Are they trained the basic principles? And then your construction contract data, whatever. I can see that we are having one television, whatever. But as we are dealing with multi-imaging contractors here, last contract center, we saw that one in there, it's very beautiful. We appreciated it because we are looking forward to it. That might be full operational. But when people are going to have that one contract center there in there, what about someone, for example, somewhere in Wanongoma? More than 300 kilometers, 400 kilometers away from the contact center. How is that contact center going to have that service? Or are going to have a situation where they are going to have outreach programs so that we can go and target those far-flung areas? Whatever. I think can give us an explanation around that. And then the other part is the issue of the register of causes. That one I see that even now it is not settled. You know? But if you can look at the construction industry, now, it's the spot where it is. Whatever it is with the channel car, I think the country will never experience such a boom in construction in the early people do now. So if you are not having this mechanism in place to be able to identify so that the people can access that, people are going to lose, because they expect people to benefit in the process. So if not, that's the rate of the project. Ready, how are we going to enhance it so that they are able to, you are going to develop that, so that they can gain access to that. Because we are going to end up with this place whereby a lot of people will be doing well now, will be coming from abroad. Whereas we don't develop our own people, but part of the mandate of the CIDP is to develop the infrastructure in that place. So why the delay? What happened? When can we have that? So I think that I will come back later again. That's the point of this, that I have to get the bike.
I'm going to
Thank you for my attention.
Como I said, I think it is important for us to understand the capacity of CIDP, even at national level, as we speak. I know that the provinces are starting up, but we also want, because we want to understand why all these delays you know, people are complaining, you know, sometimes one thing for you guys to come here and give us a good response, but it's another when we have to go down and cover that, you know, almost all what was said about is not what is happening on the ground. People are complaining just even about grading, that they are kept on one level for a long time. And those ones that benefit are those ones who've been there before, because they say they have been trying to apply for to upgrade it in terms of their grading. Now in terms of their project, for a particular grade, I'm not a builder, for a particular grade, you can only tender for so much. Now, if that delay that is caused by CID is actually disadvantaging from benefiting from a certain level, that's a very, very serious one. You find that people are saying, I've been in this level, I've done so many jobs. People talk about even going to Pretoria and sleeping there. They are prepared to do their community work and doing it for others. Is that what CIDP is there for our people to suffer? I mean, that's very, it is disadvantaging those people. Those delays and, you know, sometimes our institutions, we must avoid operating in a way that is like many times like home affairs, where, you know, I mean, you have no hope when you go to those places. And really, we really have to avoid that. It's very, very important. The other one is the issue of people are complaining that the, in fact, my other question I want to know, that a lot of people are asking, what is happening with, how does CIDP grade me with perhaps the work that I've done outside government, the private job that people have done, are those taken into consideration by CIDP when they've got to do grading? Because that's another area that was actually had a lot of questions asked about. The issue of Gauteng and running their own CIDP, if provinces are independent of CIDP, how do we make sure that legislative mandate is carried? Because CIDP has got a particular mandate in terms of legislation, and if provinces are independent of CIDP, how do we make sure that they actually fall within the mandate of the province? That's very important to get. The last one for now is the eradication of my school, or the eradication of schooling under the street. I heard what you were saying, but I want to know, normally those budgets are with the provinces. Now, if that responsibility is given to CIDP...
You can use your mic.
Oh. If that responsibility is given to CIDP, what do you do if it doesn't match with the budget of that province? And particularly you mentioned Tata, rightly so, because if you go to the Eastern Cape, particularly the former times, there's millions of those mass schools, you know, and that's the order of the day. If the provincial department does not have a budget, how do you do that? For us, because we must also oversight on you, we would want to know if you're targeting Eastern Cape, that on a particular year, there are so many mad schools, there are so many schools under the tree, and some other people say in some areas there are no even trees. So whatever you call it, what is your target for that process? So that we are able to do oversight on you whether you have been able to reach your target or how far you've been been through with your target around what you would actually budgeted for. Thank you very much.
Yeah, my school. I think you heard that, Mr. Martin.
Yeah. Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, my take on this input would be first and foremost around the question of the regional offices of the National Department of Public Health. As to whether perhaps you do have any link to that at this infrastructure. I get with Mr. Colbert-Kenton talking about the provincial department, but there's no mention of the link between the traditional offices of the Department of Public Health nationally. One would assume that they must be able also to do a relative work in terms of assessing the IDB in terms of this mandate. But also, in terms of the service provider of the IDB, one would assume that in terms of the capacity building, you would not necessarily do that on your own. You would engage service providers. How do you make selection of those service providers in ensuring that they are able to carry your mandate? And also, ensuring that the service providers are also trying to bridge the gap between the white-owned service providers vis-à-vis the black-owned service providers. Because also you need to bridge that gap so that you are able to build the capacity within the service providers. So that it's not always the terrain of the old region kind of the service providers. The other question would be also around the eradication of mushrooms. You know, this is one of the sensitive issues when you go to rural areas. You really will find a following condition under which the learners are learning. And how do you link up, let's say for instance, a member of parliament within the head content office is experiencing this problem. How does he or she link up with your infrastructure that is applicated in his or her property so that he is able to interact with your standards, with his view that is the makeup of a diplomat school will also receive attention that it deserves. Because this thing of your intervention sometimes might not be able to assist us in terms of realizing without our intervention, because as members of parliament want to put various areas in our community. That is where we see this problem practically. But we might not be able to, for instance, link up with your bar reaching offices in Pretoria, or as another member said, that it is in the case, for instance, of KZN, your office is in Durban, but now one has got to look at the service that must be offered to contractors in Mongolia. And the challenge is how do you really have this infrastructure that assists us in terms of education? Act as a member of parliament utilizing your offices for the improvement of the challenge of smart schools. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Initially, I think the interaction we need is not only about smart schools, but all the information and interaction we can get using technology from our constituency offices into the website or whatever from CIGB. I think that would be really assist us to get to service our communities. I just want to ask two questions. During our oversight, we spoke to a contractor. We had a project contract from government, but the contractor was not registered. Is it still possible for one unregistered person to get contracts, government contracts? And the 5,000 youth involved in that service, internet project. Is it possible that I can know from my constituency who they are, how they were selected, and so forth?
Same to one, when you want
to. Thank you, Chair. I think some of the questions have been but I think when we did our oversight, the main problem that we encountered with the report from the people giving us the presentations about their challenges and problems was the fact that CID will take a very long time to process their applications. And sometimes their applications get lost on the way. They go to the office, the application, they go to Pretoria, they can't find your application, and people are really frustrated. And that was the main problem. And now that we're working with the officers with the computers and all, are they interlinked to the Pretoria main office in Pretoria so that people don't have to go to Pretoria or wherever? And the other question is about the on page 6. That the state supports the contractor development. And if people still have this challenge, how do you think you're going to manage that? Because there are still these challenges of applications getting lost and along the way. And lastly, on the same page, the last question, to improve the settlement of contractors. The question is how? Because you can see from the gap between the white-owned contractors and the black-owned. And when it comes to grade 9, black-owned contractors and stuff, I think that is all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mama.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The question that I wanted to ask also brings on to the frustration of the people that we have met, especially in KwaZulu-Natal. Now, I noticed the stats on how many people are being assisted from the province. So my question is, why are the provincial offices or the provincial facilities are actually only now coming into operation? Well, everybody is working towards Pretoria, and isn't this where our biggest frustration comes from? I just need to get a little bit more background on that process, and especially the capacity of Pretoria, because our people from KZN mentioned that they had to go to Pretoria where they weren't even assisted. Now, one can also know if the provincial offices that will, facilities that will be coming available soon, if this would really lessen the burden and increase the service that needs to be ended. Then, Chairperson, my concern is that there are so many contractors in the lower grade, and this is already, we are in the phase of time of preparing construction for the 2010.
Yeah.
How prepared will our people be to benefit from those projects if we have these kind of
questions? Thank you. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chipita.
Sorry, I just want to say one last question that this can be answered. A situation that we came across with in David and was offered contracting, who was given a tender. For some reason, consultants are the ones who drive this process. And in this one particular case, this lady was working on two plans. One from the architect and another from consultant. Now, in such situations, if anything goes wrong, what is the role of CIGG in terms of those consultants? Because at the end, it definitely means there's something wrong. And these consultants, who are obviously, you know, been there for a long time, maybe I should say why, tend to intimidate consultants by saying, for you to move here, I can break you or break you. These people are working under those stress because they depend on the consultants and those consultants. What is PIGB doing in terms of beginning to develop? I want to know what would you do about those consultants in the first place. Secondly, in terms of registering, beginning to identify less consultants as well. I'm not saying they are going to be better, but you can see the monopoly of certain groups that actually know that there's nowhere where you can go. You can only come to me. And that's where the point is now. And how are we doing in terms of registering other people or recruiting them to me? Because I'm sure you do find companies like the business say that there are people that can be interested in becoming consultants in beginning to transform that kind of that part of the thing.
Any further additions or questions? Mr. Cotton.
Thank you. Before I respond to the question about that, I'd say like the CIP together with the Department of Public Works that is actually a commission for a study on skills focusing on the architecture. We have recently published a skills report which I would like to do here. I only have 15 copies. I will show you the motion. But you can send more down there.
It's well in the back, the requirement.
I will actually just try to get it.
Thanks very much.
I have my colleagues here who actually work on specific programs that can deal with issues that have been asked. But perhaps I should just lead the way by saying that and speaking honest on a few questions, the eradication of mass schools, as I indicated, as a president called project. The Minister of Public Works is going to be launching that project. It's not very good at launching. A number of entities that support public works are participating, CRD is participating like others. But we've identified an area where we could actually assist. For instance, the eradication of mass schools using local communities to build schools. We could have PPWP participating at an individual level. We could have PIDG saying if there's a tender issued out for that local community, then we can make sure that the people are registered there, fact-check that process of registration, make sure that when they finish building the school and they want to hire them, they come back to us and then they can build another school that can hire them. So it's not like the PIDG is the CIDG's project. PIDG is participating together with other people. And in terms of, for instance, having more details, actually the Department of Public Works working with the regional offices of the National Department that are checking what information is available, which schools are must schools, and they will determine how many classrooms must be built, all of that. CNP is only contributing in terms of making sure that we don't then break our legislation and say people are not registered, not going to build a school as you know come. So I just want to clarify that because it's not a CNP thing. The National Public Works Department doing it in conjunction with regional offices and just working with the provincial department, checking checking which rules should be or are must rules and should be changed and at what time should that happen. Clearly it's going to be supporting the victim and this is the supporting should be part of the problem. In terms of first I should just say here that when people complain about the low pace of registration at the AMT, it happened during the course of the year, which was quite a challenge for us. During 2005, we went out to massively telling conductors that they must now register with the AMT before they take the seat, but do that for further. We also started capacitating public sector clients, public stakeholders, and then during the course of last year, we dealt with municipalities, but also continued to give support to provincial and national departments. My colleague Kiri will actually expand on that. The challenge that we're sitting with was first and foremost, the numbers started growing very fast. Like I indicated, we are expecting that in South Africa we will be having about 2,000 registered conductors around the country. The fact that we have more than 31,000, actually more than 35,000, but the others may not have submitted their documentation, so they get suspended until they submit. And sometimes people expect them to be registered. So we have 50 temp workers. That was not enough. We still have to hire maybe another 50, and my colleague will expand on that. But the challenge we're sitting with was we thought the business processes that we had would respond very well to the applications that we're coming through. Until all of a sudden, this thing went up from, I would say, about 250 applications a week, we went at some stage to 700 applications a week. We're busy now expanding our offices so that we can send from this. So at that time, the business processes did not respond appropriately to the demand of them. We got consultants that had worked for us to come and help us design our system. We also had ideas. So we had a backlog last year. We've gotten rid of that backlog from early with the first 2 months. We've got rid of the backlog. Maybe I could allow my colleague here to basically explain to what's happening to us. We'll always have a challenge when we regulate and even through the industry that is market. Some people don't like it for their own reasons, we need to just make people understand, because as I talk to you now, all applications that have come to KIT and then all the required documentation, when I'm saying all, maybe there's one or two that you may have made. They get processed within the same one place they have taken. But when they don't have the correct property documents, especially from the enabled sector, and we're trying to help them. That's where we have a problem. When people say they submitted an application to us, they don't say that I did not submit the fact here, the certificate that they have submitted, the CPA number, and we keep telling them, please submit, we give them 90 days. When they're in the system, they might say to you, they were not registered from 2005. I think we can go back to the KIT and check if there's anybody who was not registered from 2005 and had all the files that we But people don't understand. They're now coming to me, complaining to me, sending emails to me. When we begin to investigate, we pull up a record that says, certain Saturday, we send a reminder to this person, until we said we are now out of the system. What we then want to do going into the future, we're not doing it right now, we don't want to accept any application form that does not have all the required documents. But by trying to help people, you know what they do? They send an application with registered mail. And they keep proof that they send an application. They go to the client and say, I sent my application on this day, 2006, to the KIT. Till now I haven't been. But they don't tell them that there are documents that will ask for the international services. Now that piece of document is not accessible. The problem then is they don't tell us all the information. They feel that in the past they could just do it. Now that they must be registered, they either don't like it or they cannot give the document. Simple challenge. They say, they ask us the question, are you going to submit our information to SAR so that SAR will prosecute us? We say no. But they present two sets of qualifications. One for SAR, which declares low income, and another one for CRD, declaring high income so that they can get a higher goal. This is a challenge for us. So if there is anybody who submitted an application last year and has not been registered to provide all the documents, we would like to assist them. But thank you. I would like my colleague to
just before you come, Jimmy. Just before you come again. Yes, we. It's because this happened about 2 weeks ago. You were engaged in about 2 weeks ago. So that's the reason. It's just as fresh as 2 weeks ago. Also taking into account what you then said, when you do respond, how do you then communicate? Because I think it's a question of communication.
Mm-hmm.
You have your senses that are in place, I think also, that is a really short program. How do you then communicate? Because we have the media, we should be doing that. So that it must be very clear. Take for instance the issue of sun. I mean, we have to stop corruption. None of that. We have to come out very clear so that they must begin to know. So that they must not come up and say these things. They will never even come to us. Because every one of them, they always want to take a loophole or find a way. But how do they communicate? That is what is critical for you. Thanks.
Thanks.
Maybe
before I give the opportunity to I need to just say that we recognize that a lot of conductors out there, we don't understand our problem. We try to simplify our problem, that's one. But the second one is we nominated one of the managers all around the country to work with public health commission, make sure that we call all people that could not be registered, either because the supporting documentation were not submitted and various other issues. We started that process, it's moving a bit slowly because some of the contractors are not responding easily, but we started with Northwest and Caleb and it's working very well. We'll have regional workshops with each province or in Caleb and in Northwest, I think they have a meeting soon on Monday, so they'll tell us about their strategy. We are going to each and every province to ask specifically the question, who has not been registered because they didn't have supporting documentation? Who has not registered because it takes too long for the day. Even when it's not our fault, we fix it. We'll have people on the spot communicating with head office. They'll have access to technology. They'll check what's happening at head office. They may have to resolve some of the issues right on the spot. In whatever province there will be. We're working together as procurement and delivery as well as the registered department to fix that problem. So I don't know if you say make a problem already to try and fix this. Sometimes contractors don't have track records, but they used to work for public works a long time ago, and one public works to then give confirmation that they yes, they need such project. So I'm saying that process actually started around March, but it's too slow for black bodies to respond, but we'll be fixing that problem. Yes.
Thank you very much. I'm talking about some responses which also pick up a lot of the issues that were raised. We can always go through them. What did you mention the phenomenal growth of the register? We projected 50,000 by December. And, from my side, we appreciate the pressure actually. And we appreciate the way it was put forward. Because it hasn't been pleasant part as well. Nobody wants to basically. Suddenly you just raise for complaints, you want to be efficient, that's how we go. So we appreciate the feedback. The projection is 50,000 by December. So it's important to realize that in that 50,000 there's the graveyard issue is key. The graveyard issue is key because of 9 grades, it was 79% in grade 1. Graveyard work up to 200,000, which is quotation level, public sector, quotation level work. So it's those $5 million tenders that get the grade 1. The bulk of those contractors or those companies registered have not done work before. So it's a lot of new entrants that have come on in anticipation of work. But the grade one is certainly an issue which is applicable on how to do work. Now the CCC, the Construction Contact Center, the service officer will be safe. Basically, we obviously we don't want to get in a situation where the office is all of a sudden providing the full service and registering. But we want the impact to start being felt already. So from the start, from the 1st of August, the data capture will start in the CCC. Currently what they're doing is they've got access to actually query resolution so they can provide contact to the feedback at the center. So somebody walks in, they can say, look, you've submitted on this date, except that you've got an order place. And the person was calling a shameful number, which is basically overflooded. In addition to that, they can also capture contractors right in the province, they can capture the contractors' issues at the province where they are of the community. So that's initial, that's already there. And that's already effective right there in Western Cape, where we just started in the the office after the meeting.
Where the office is?
Okay, but it's very new, and we haven't officially launched it, but they're already working, the IT services are already there, but it's a phase registration, and then there's the low stages of it, so the initial stages are already done. But moving along, we have to get a situation where we actually
process... Well, I'm sorry for this.
I'm a bit worried to say that part of those people are in the enterprise. I think when you go to KZN and when you open the office, must have done a relatively good work in terms of dealing with the challenges there. And that's not the situation in KZN. You know, we were in the meeting where the emerging contractors were saying to the MEC that we don't see the role of the IDB. And some of them were saying to the MEC, we have handled a work of more than a million, but that still did not agree. Out of 5,000, I think 4,000, if I'm correct, are still in the grade one. I think what we are saying like this is, before you open your office today, you must do a relative work so that when you open your office, you are able to entice people that are going to receive services for you from your bank. If that's a cautious tell off your business, thanks.
My apologies, I think you gave me an opportunity to introduce my team and I went straight into the presentation. I can see that quite a number of them would like to contribute. May I quickly introduce them? The gentleman that has been speaking does not frequently my presentation. It's Mr. Ibrahim Mola, who is the program manager for Register, so anything that goes through the registration comes to him. The lady next to him is Kimba Kamila, who is recently appointed by the CIDG to take over from the role that I used to play before in procurement and delivery, program manager. And then the one next to her is Dr. Rodney Milford, who is the responsible for industry performance. All things that are related, for instance, to research, phase two of the register, and things like that, is responsible for that. So that's the team that we have here. My apologies again on behalf of our board members. We had invited our chairperson, and he was here yesterday. He has a commitment today. He suggested that we had another board member who resides in Cape Town. He was going to come back to me, and he couldn't make it. My apologies.
But given the depth of certification requirement for installation at an entry level grade, in a grading system, you don't have a grade that's an entry level grade. But as you go along, you wouldn't want to state requirements at your first level that are difficult. You want to state an easy application process at entry level. But given that the volumes are there, and we basically want to see an over-the-counter registration process at the CCC starting from your lowest level first. So if somebody walks into the CCC, you want to be able to, before he leaves the door, give him a certificate over the counter. Because what happens is when you get documents getting back to Pretoria and, you know, it becomes too much of a nightmare to be in this. Get the application over the counter, you check the basic four documents, if it's right, everything's in order, you issue a thing and say, thank you, you're registered. Over. No getting back to you. And the contract is in court and you're registered for a period of 3 years. Without having to have an administrative overlay in the 3 year period. So it's easy to basically get on. Now, the link to that is a question about the workload sharing of the CCCs in the head office, how many people, etc. Currently, in the head office, there's about just under 70 people. So mainly made up of short term, you know, contracts and temporary staff and a batch of permanent staff. Now, it's a never invested that there won't be a head office processing and just a provincial kind of workload. Because when you get to your level 2 to 9, there's a more sophisticated kind of a verification process, etc. Now, the CIDG has been mandated in our act to attempt this already. But the principles of the register are broad. So, why is the facilitate public sector procurement, why is the framework for contracts of development? It's also a key risk management tool as well. Which means if a contractor has been differentiated from a 5 to a 6, there are two factors that says you will find that you will take. Now, that's where the complexity comes in. Because if you have to differentiate what does it take to verify from a 6, what does it take to verify from an 8? It could be, for example, let's say, for example, we could say, from the 7, 8, and 9, those companies are subject to the full charter. The 5, 6 is a requirement. But the point that I'm trying to raise is, there is requirements that require differentiation between the grades. Which means the helper will always play a role in terms of the registration process. The CCCs are starting off small. Initially, there'll just be 3 staff members, and it can grow in a short period up to 5 with that capacity. But given that we have these around the country, a key point in those days is that besides the grade 1 and the grade 2 to 9 processing, we also a lot of software administration for the test clearance updates, electrical license updates, annual updates, which can happen at the CCC. Somebody can walk in, go to the test clearance certificate, and get a stamp, and you update it immediately. There's no need to send to the office. So while we're starting off small, you definitely will feel the effect of those sensors. The IT system is only live. So if somebody captures an application there, it's immediately available to the head office. But also in saying that, it has to be changed in itself. The ID facilities are also being changed. And initially, it will be, as I said, your query and your capturing of your query, moving into data capture, and then moving into registration. So that's how it's going to be staged. Upgrades are challenged, and it's very much linked to registration, to your first time registration. If we can see the CCC sees the effect something felt, you'll also find an effect with your upgrade. Because you have less of a problem of documentation coming to scale in the post, it will be checked at the CCC, and it will be put into a file and categorized, and data captured, and the upgrade would come. But having said that, we've had 1,700 upgrades of the register so far. Where contractors have improved all the grading, 1,700. 86% of those are black on categorizers, and we've got the statistics. It's not near the level where we'd like it to be, but with CCC reading that it will definitely improve. Also related is private sector work, professional grade, is private sector work recognized? Private sector work is recognized. In fact, all track records for contractors, whether the contractor was a joint venture partner, whether the contractor acted as a main contractor, whether the contractor acted as a subcontractor, or whether the contractor did private sector work. But the challenge that we have, and very much linked to the differentiation among the trades, is the documentation. You get, for example, somebody having done a private sector job, and you get a simple one page of KGR coming in. Not to anyone in that name, it just says, because X, Y, and Z for 5 years, right? When you try to phone the client who's on there, you can't verify it. So the major challenge, and if we become too loose with the register, on the other side, the CIBB, it's also accountable to public works and clients. The client basically says, hey, man, you put somebody in the price, now the guy is saying the end of the job, you're having for the site. So we're all stuck between like a rock and a hard place. This links a lot to the presentation of the method of this development and how it is in the register. But we do accept private sector work, and we have done so far. The other question is, unregistered persons getting government contracts? That's illegal. It's against the regulation. But if you do find that, there might be some reasons for it. I'll tell you why. The last of the low capacity municipalities only have to comply by November 2006. So if there was a maintenance project of a longer term, etc., that was awarded by the state, awarded by the municipalities, you might find somebody still busy on a job for a certain client who didn't have to comply. But it should be rare. It should rarely be, not may. On the smaller side, labor-only contractors do not have to be registered. It's mainly the supply of labor in terms of the contract, like your glass cutting and other kinds of projects like that. There's also no registration required. But if there is, anything you can provide us with that information, and we can definitely follow it up in terms of breach of the regulation. The issue of lost applications, I think that the construction contact centers provincial are going to play a big role. We do get a lot of applications in the post, and things are already put in file at the CCC, and already data captured at the CCC. eventually when we had the phase where you can actually scan those documents at the Slovenian center, so they like really demonstrate in terms of those documents. We have sent a communication to all contractors regarding the CCC. The last time I checked, there was a last letter of 10,000 to the 10,000, so we have communicated in that regard. And we've also tried to the World Bank, what Molly mentioned, the agencies, so we actually asked, given list of contractors where, you know, they're definitely trying to know their contractors, they know the issues of those contractors. The response has been, say, it hasn't been as great as it was. One point, only some positives in about 2 kilometers so far. So we are trying that. So thank you very much. I will pick up a few of these.
Yeah, I think that the one is the serious one because it's not just the breach of the regulation, it's the breach of the act, you know, because the act goes on then to stipulate that it's the UP. The sentence that should be made, I think that's what you're raising. I think the members will provide you that communication. It is as and if there are additions to the members who have been carried to you for the first question. Or additional travel. Sorry. Yes, please.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to pick up on a few comments that concern the portfolio that I've just inherited 2 weeks ago. What some comfort to you is that I've been with the Department, National Department of Public Works for the last 16 years, so the challenges are really not new to me. What is new is from a client to now become a regulator, so the challenges are really not new. Just a comment on the observation that you made on the type of master-servant relationship between professional teams and contractors, which is where I think we need to rise to the occasion in the procurement and delivery modeling that we want to do. Because you would find that this type of relationship is really intuitive from our own development fund. It's how it was in the UK type of environment for construction, and we have got to deliver to that and move along with it. So it's traditional practice for professional teams to really have the master role over your core contractor would be very subservient to whatever the professional team was. Now globally we see a practice where that is being turned over, where the contractor then becomes the master and the professional team becomes the servant. And the way that is happening is your professional team puts up a concept of a plan and then it's out. The plan goes out to tender and the contractor then takes ownership of that plan. And whomever the contractor wants to bring on board to take forward that drawing, which is business. Now it's up to us to try and bring those type of globally accepted practices into our model and see how that should work for us. Of course it's really, really dependent on the client, and to make the client knowledgeable so that they would then adopt these kind of models to whatever projects they find suitable where those things can work. But it is a problem for us. We've picked it up in numerous times in public works, and we need to see how we can rectify that with the Register of Professional Service Providers also. Comments on 2010 would be benefits of our ordinary contractors.
Also the commitment and education of those professionals. You know, one can be experienced to what that is. This professional person will see in his cost office about 50 kilometers away from the site. And this poor contractor is not able to proceed with the rest because these professionals are not one to come out to the site to verify the work before he or she can proceed with the work in terms of the plan for the building. I think that's also a challenge.
Could I maybe just add into that one, and I agree with what you're saying, and that's like the practice, I expect, is that not accessible. But I would question what the role of the client is. The client, of course, appoints you as an officer. And this behavior needs to go back to the client. And the client needs to take responsibility for that poor behavior by the officer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But these consultants sometimes are, if the department, maybe the local department that recommends it, the client, yeah, the client And perhaps, you know, round about this one case, maybe we really have to follow this one. These two consultant architects, the other one recommends bricks. So, no, there's a block, and then the client goes and buys it. When he comes back, he says, no, the other one says, no, not the block, the bricks. Now, you can imagine, now, this small contractor is losing money, is losing time, and at the end, he gets nothing from this.
The client needs to take responsibility, because it appears from what you're saying, the client is giving responsibility to two people, which is not acceptable in terms of standard procurement methods, the procurement system that CRG has put out. This one needs to be followed up, and this is not acceptable, and I expect the client somewhere to look at this
one. Right, Mr. Khader.
Comrade said, I just also want to zoom in on this particular one. As I said, that we cannot leave this matter hanging like this. Because we gave an undertaking even to that contractor concern that will follow up to the highest level of possible. So I think that the CIG, part of this work is to develop the contractor. So we are having a case here, a case study where a contractor is being destroyed later, whatever. Because you know, these people are still at a low rate. There's still, in order for them to grow up, they have to comply with certain things, whatever. So there's no way that this contractor will be able to get it up. If she's going to lose money, she's not going to be able to complete that project. Because first of all, the cost which is already in charge now is more than the original tender. Because you go and buy the block, you bring them on site, you return them back. Usually there's a penalty for that, for returning those results up there. So I want to mention that primary school is as in Lobby, primary school. As in Lobby, you pay the end letter. As in Lobby, in primary school. And then the contractor is called Izulu. The contractor is called Izulu. And then the client was the KZN, that was the head office of the provincial public. That the one was who put the client there, who commissioned the work. So if we can make a follow-up out of that, and this, after we made that follow-up, the report, but we also spoke to the head of the department there, that she must also invoke the internal processes within the department so that they can come back. But if you can come out from your side as the people who are the regulators, then you must come back and come so that we set an example. We need these examples. Thank you.
I'm also having a with the other man who wants to make a writer. Are you done? Thank you, Dan. Over to you. Yeah, over to you.
If I could just pick up on two comments here, and then maybe one can see what is between this and others. My colleague did refer previously to opportunities from 2010, but the question was linked to some extent if the registered project is not tackled urgently, we will not be able to access opportunities for 2010. Opportunities for 2010 are not accessed through the registered projects, but through the registered contractors. The registered project is seen as the instrument for improving the performance. I hear what you're saying, but it's almost as if changes will be advertised in the registered project. That one way. As the CEO opened up, saying that it should be the registered contractor, the register of contracts. So in terms of providing access to opportunities, amongst others, one should be looking at the registered contractors, not the registered project. That is for improving best practice behavior, things like that. So, slightly. But the point is clear. I just want to make one other response to one other issue. I said it's grade 9, no zero black contractors. If one looks at some of the presentations, one must be very careful of drawing that conclusion. The reason for this is grade 9, they are all public companies, and one cannot determine except through the charter scorecard, which is verified, what the shareholding is. Whereas the grades 1 to 8, and half of the grade 8 are public companies and half private, roughly. So it's only with private companies can one record the ownership. A public company can't because they don't have a lot of shares. In terms of the scorecard, one will be able to record the management equity, but we're not recording that yet. But that's why we always see a zero at grade 9, and yet we don't know what the percentage share is held above that. Because one looks in the like a deal with the Farge at the moment about contracting the materials company that could go up to 70%. That is certainly not the case with any of those grade 9 companies.
you may process this.
Okay. The comments on whether Saint Etienne will reach ordinary contractors is really dependent on how the whole city has structured the attendance, because all of the tenders have to be CIDB compliant, all of the tenders have to be according to the civil CFA, which means that the scoring models, your 80-20 principle, 90-10, where 10 points would be awarded for empowerment, and that would be linked to empowerment indicators. So it's very difficult for us to actually have had control over that, because it's really a whole city responsibility on what they would like to develop in the city and on targets they were getting on the development of the stadium. So if you look at the Secure 2010 manual that we developed, it was really about compliance with the broader industry regulations, but an empowerment with a silence, because it's really a territorial thing for the municipalities to set what they need.
Sure.
Oh. Sorry, if I could just make one other quick comment, also linked to 2010, and it was raised correctly, so I understand it, and so that if we don't access this now, what is the other opportunity? We must also recognize that 2010 is a very important item, but it's only a small fraction of the boom that we're seeing. The boom that we're seeing is the Transnet, the Etkin, the private sector. The boom will continue beyond 2010. 2010, the development in support of 2010 is probably only, I don't know, the number, 5 to 10% of construction. The point is, we're correct, how do we get access to it, to the construction industry in totality, up to 2010 and beyond, because it will keep growing. 2010 is only but one such example.
Okay, I'd like to just make sure that we've covered all the points. But just before I do that, I would like to take the opportunity to just share with the honourable members here that we face with a challenge in construction where a lot of it is actually politicized to a large extent. And we've spoken to the political councils during the mainland meetings that hold regularly, and we raise the issue that if, for instance, there is an individual, the individual should not be used as a recruitment forum. Coming back, expand on that point. KDP does not have membership. The contractors that register are not our members. They are registered so that we can regulate them. It's different, for instance, when you look, I'm going to use illustration here, the NHGRC, and we'll be recruiting membership, so we have them. KDP operates differently. We would like to have a smaller number of contractors that can do this job, rather than too big a number, half of which cannot actually do this job. Because remember what we're doing, we're registering contractors so that they can offer a certain take off. When the time comes along, they should work with them. So that is why, for instance, when you start talking about the registration of Play 1 contractors, we want to simplify the process without taking them completely out of the register. So that we can then contribute and develop them. So when the time comes along, they will actually find them. The challenge that we are therefore facing is, and with due respect in our country, we have unemployment rate that is unacceptable, but it's just the way things are turning out. We're getting that, for instance, out of the grade ones that we have, we may find that 80% of them actually don't know anything about construction, but they're in the register. We need to respond to this and say, while we recognize that we do not have a good number in terms of employment, we cannot accept that people, just because they are unemployed, they must pose as if they can build something about anything. So the question that we need to ask ourselves is, we have houses ourselves. Would you say when you build a house, you get somebody that has never built a house before to build it? The answer is no. But we shouldn't end it. We should then say, because we don't have contracting capacity in South Africa, how can we help those that have never had the opportunity? And we believe that the role of the CIB is to actually facilitate the process where those people who have not done anything before are then given access. But we need to make sure that we differentiate between giving it to everybody and lead to an unsustainable number of entities, share it so we spread it with sunshine, or that we create companies that we will see in the next 5 years, 10 years, 20 given them where for dinner. What is happening at the moment is they have 25,000 playground centers. Even if all the different lines, some of the center lines in Alaska, wanted to give them one, you end up giving them one every 5 years. And you can tell me if that is okay. So sometimes you need to come up with this truth, which may be unpalatable to others. That client body, but they are the ones who are actually doing this well. Create the framework. CID does not really train contractors on projects because we don't have a workforce. But we provide the framework within which and the public sector clients can actually start training within the framework. And I think there needs to be a distinction between the two. Because if CID wants to train people, we should actually employ maybe 20 times the number of people that we have. But we target certain areas and provide even consultants that we will pay ourselves so that they don't give support. In my year, I can tell you, we supported the 2010 infrastructure team in terms of making sure they understand the procurement reform that we came to them. But not the CID's role to get involved in the adjudication for service conservation, but to provide their support so that then when they adjudicate, they understand exactly what they have to do. Same thing with the contractors. Go out there, tell them they must apply. We tell them what documents actually be submitted. It's not a sophisticated process as we see, but because contractors are telling us we're not that sophisticated ourselves, how can we help? We're now responding to simplify the thing so that it's easy for them to get involved. But we're also saying that it's development. Having said that, I think it's very important to also understand that a lot of these comments that are coming through, Taylor in particular, in front of the MEP and the HOD, I attended a meeting there where they said exactly the things that you say. This lady, Kotuzulu, I think I know the lady, and she raised this issue. And the department has actually committed itself to making sure that there's an understanding from the contractor side. But there's also an issue of understanding as well. What the contractors are saying is that the consultants are intimidating them. And CIT doesn't know that. They can come and tell us that it's very difficult for us to go and intervene. But the client, for instance, must look at the design, which has been done by the consultant, and say, a specified place must not. There should not then be an argument later that it's weeks or long. But the design must actually say what it should be. And the client will know when the client goes out to issue a tender. But if the contractor, the specification is weak, it's not long, not yellow or green, it is supposed to be brown. So that is very clear. But what we find is that our own contractors, because they are still developing, they actually don't understand what their rules should be. For instance, if the consultant is 150 kilometers away, they start a project, and they know they want to finish the project, they must actually either decide not to take the project, put them to the project, because this is a project, or they must ask the client that I'm not going to be able to work with this consultant who is 150 kilometers away, not going to be in fact, that day, the department committed itself to solving those types of problems. Given the fact that one point that they also raised, given us one, they say that the schools in the urban area are being built with consultants that come from urban areas and they should be quite when it goes, comes to the rural areas where the roads are bare, there are a lot of operational costs that their consultants and consultants are going to be exposed to. And they give that to the people that don't have access to funding. It's a big issue where the banks can get involved, but it's not just introducing the banks, but the banks will also start to understand it. Also, people begin to understand the difference. And that construction, you can't be a multi-millionaire overnight. A lot of our, basically, major contractors have that view that once I get into construction, I'm going to buy that, that's fine. It doesn't work like that. And that's why they get frustrated very easily when they don't see the money coming. If you take any construction project, you talk about 5-8% that may be profit. The point that was raised here, the client is not paying in time, and 5-8% is not 5-8% anymore. Maybe zero, maybe negative. So these are the things that contractors themselves need to understand, go through the process, and understand. 2010 is actually too late for a lot of contractors, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And what is exciting, like my colleague was saying, from 2010, beyond 2010, those projects that are sustainable. So together we need to work with them. And I'm saying the stakeholders, the clients, they must understand where these projects are going. So that when you develop contractors, you develop them to support to work later on for them, not just 20 times. So 20 times can be very more than in a financial. I just wish
issue about conductors in KZN actually at a state of almost rebellion because they felt the KZN wasn't actually president. We're blending with the situation here where the main conductors don't understand. We talk about conductors and we drive the KZN. But construction companies that are well resourced and some of those that can employ people, they actually don't do that. They don't go to KZN on the phone. In that sense, within a few days, they have started to open up. But those that don't understand, instead of posting the staff and again, I'm assessing that some of our staff members who were not well trained, especially those who were tasked with converting contracts from temp to permanent work, there was no commitment. They would say, can send us the same document that we lost. And you can't, that money is not essential at all. You don't say the document that we lost and just go on going. Taken from the fund. So we said that limit is not acceptable because anybody who sends that to a contractor to investigate and take action. Because they were confusing contractors, of course. But yes, some documents may have been lost. And we are giving work testimony to make sure that we do find where the documents are, that we upgrade our system so that when we look for information, it's available in the system. And it's very easily accessible. So I think people they don't understand the energy, they are beginning to understand the energy now, and what we actually have a mandate to do rather than what they want us to do. But where we need to change, what is going to transit, what is going to escort, what the aftermarket are actually based on what people want to do. We need to accommodate them. Previous to getting you on applying across the board, we want to change it. We want to respond to what we plan, so that they see the value of the energy then. In terms of the program and how many we are, the construction contact center will initially, like my colleague said, have three people that are fully employed by CMG. There's a manager, there's a business administrator, and a health desk captain. And the manager is going to be responsible for collecting information that we don't have today in the public, so that when that information is captured, everybody can have access to it. We can then determine development of opportunities and from that information. The triple C's, by the way, will not just be doing state registration tests going forward. We'll have contact instability so that somebody can run a workshop from Cape Town here and broadcast to everybody who is available in those different centers so that they can then have access to this information. We've spoken to the bank, the D4, the Bank Association, Italian Chamber, and AFSA in response to this requirement for contractors in establishing regional offices that will be specific to contractors. KZN has moved a long way in terms of addressing some of these issues. It highlights already amongst the number of contractors that we talked about. So it is exciting what is happening because now banks can see the numbers that we're presenting and they ask us, can you do this to us and how reliable is this information in the response? So the value that we are adding, while others may not have seen it, begins to make sense now. So we will have three staff employed fully by the CMEG and not accounted to anybody else at the CMEG. If they don't perform, we deal with that. So we're doing away with the healthcare, but in the meantime, where we do not have the triple C, we'll continue to use them. We'll just sign new contracts for them, we indicate to them what they want to do. I hope it paints a better picture. Unfortunately, we cannot have more than one officer. It's a huge challenge in terms of the budget. The budget must actually be controlled in order to deal with officers all over the place. How can for example, one in 10 months? For us to just run with 10 offices would be a nightmare. But remember that the triple C by Haldane was not a concept that we talked about. It was their own initiative, which is quite a beautiful initiative. It needed support from people, but we believe 10 offices is too much. And Haldane remaining just three. And think about it, the energy offices were essentially handed there. So it's two different things where we want to work together. In terms of the latest of projects, I think my colleague Rodney has actually dealt with that. But in terms of the capacity of the CRG, we dealt in terms of numbers. We believe at this stage that the people that we have may be just adequate now, but in a few other programs, we need to expand again. We're renovating to accommodate stuff that we have, and it's quite encouraging. We actually had to take an immediate decision in February to just go out there and renovate that office so that we can. We've taken over a new block, block set, September. We've been
easy to give up and an easy session with going to sleep. Even with them, we can see the challenge of growth. Okay. But as you say, to believe in Shastra Kate, you just need to find your people. Very difficult to get people that you bring them together. You don't just need engineers, you don't just need the architects, but you need people who can manage contracts, people who understand the industry, and then how we will be able to drive the business going forward. We do live with the regional offices through the National Department of Public Works. We work with the provincial offices of public works. So we work with them, but the link to the regional offices of the National Department normally happens through the National Department. Okay. We don't just go straight to them. The length it takes to rent our CLD is something that happened during last year. We changed our business processes to now responding quickly. And as part of that, we decided to simplify our processes. ED is actually having a task team that is looking at simplifying the registration process so that people do not wait more than 21 days for their registration. But if they are compliant, it takes maximum 21 days they are registered. When we have a problem that are in place, because where people don't have their property process and they cannot use two businesses, we also try to educate them through the difficulties to tell them what they need to do in order to register with people and what they need to do in order to make sure that they are tested, that if they are not available, who they may need to talk to, or beyond us, but we can actually provide information around them so that what seems to support them, especially the immigration sector. A lot of these people, by the way, that would prepare, maintain, and inside the construction company. These are two totally different situations. With prepare and actually subcontract to some of the vendors of our construction so that we can specialize in this area, but we are supporting all these people so that they understand they will not be tried and opportunity to start a business. In terms of the housing issue, I think we've clarified, they have their own problem with selling before ours. The one that we're doing was branding together. We will continue to work with them, just to have a meeting in the village, certainly take all the products, potentially. I need to know how we should go to the address. We have a meeting, so we actually have a meeting there. We go to define an exciting arrangement how we're going to work. But we took that contact and expanded it to the three states where they want more offices. We gave them the one more offices. And they have raised those offices, we'll train their staff. The manager who's visiting in the province in the Chukuti will go and train the staff there or get them to the office, the Chukuti office. Train them so the quality can then improve. And we say, we can only come into one office, that province. But the public works department may establish a number of offices, maybe supporting every day all contractors that come through, or maybe having just a day where contractors may be made that business. The eradication of mass schools, as I indicated, is not our project at CLD, we respond to the president's call, and we are putting this funding on public works. In terms of targets for the schools, I don't have those numbers. Maybe when this is launched, we then have the numbers, but the Minister of Public Works has that information coming through. Coming from the people that are actually handling the project. I've dealt with the issue of regional offices of the National Department and the capacity of the CLD to ensure that the services are provided and that there is transformation. The CLD, we showed you the best that deal with women owned contractors, women owned contractors, black owned contractors. We do not have a special program for the sense that deals with women. We believe that. You know, this broad approach that people have that will be supported. It deals with youth issues, it deals with women issues, but specifically when it comes to black-owned construction companies, we have what we call the PD data in terms of our registration, so that black-owned companies, black-owned businesses, can actually have access to it. It's quite a big thing where contractors are invited from a certain level, say from grade 7. But if the client has a development program which says we would like to support the main contractor, Lego, they can then give that project to, if they sell it in the tenant documentation, they can then give that project to a contractor with the main data, CD data, one grade below what they're selling, so they can give them opportunity. But it becomes a controversial issue because they can only do that and kill the contractor. What they need to do is give support to that contractor so that the contractor can then finish that project. So it's quite a strong instrument that they can use, but we find that a lot of them are very close to the capacity. You you may be amazed at the number of workshops that you run around the country, but still can't go back to it. Get to the same plan, because staff have either moved to other departments, they resign, and new people have been hired. And it's something that I've never seen happening with other departments. There is being planning around the country for contractors, for all planned departments, for provincial departments, national departments, for paraclinical, and then for municipalities. So it's a challenge. In terms of transformation, that we have the key stakeholders that we use, but we're also helping the clients to understand this better. For instance, we're saying a contractor wants to grow very fast. Can some contractor, and a key contractor, do a project when they come back to us, for instance, they could jump 2-3 levels? But the challenge is, the key contractors may not want to work with them because they don't know them. Some of them say they don't deliver, they agree with the structure of the profit, but when they don't, on a performance, that they still want the money. And it's an issue that we do not know what is coming from the client to see, help us understand what is happening out there. Because our role is then, when they come back to us and say, I've completed this project, this was my portion. Can you upgrade into the next level? And then we look at the system and say, yes, you qualify. Then you upgrade it. Like my colleague was saying, one more than 1,700 contractors have actually upgraded. And about 85% of them actually let go of contractors. So they can begin to see the value of this. Before they register, they were complaining. Now that they're registered, they're actually getting excited. Some of them want to use a model when they go to a workshop and say, the very same black contractors will complain. And I'll say, this is exciting. You just need to understand how we work. But we give them support. For us to tell people to go to salary, arrange to pay their taxes so that they can get a tax bill. See that as value add, something that we will not expect to do actually. I think I've dealt with the issue of the eradication of my school already. The National Youth Service, again, this is a project that is resided within the Department of Public Works. We're only providing assistance. We have indicated assistance in developing the basic framework for that. So if you need information, there is another level of what the information for the community. I think if you contact Michael, I just forgot his name, Michael would actually email me. Sure, you saw. Okay. Michael itself, I think it's from China, the way it's M-I-K-H-I-E-L.
M-I-K-E-L.
I think it was a point also we said it's not only my schools where a contribution to the name. I think in this case we're responding to projects that are more national government intervention. So we responded. We do identify other projects where we feel we could actually assist. So anything that comes along is actually get to assist. But again, when we ask about the capacity of the KDP to respond to those things, it's more in terms of assistance rather than KDP take over the thing. We haven't forgotten about our mandate. We want to make sure that whatever we do actually assists in promoting and fulfilling our mandate. I've dealt with the KDP taking too long to register cancer services last year, and I'll say until about February this year. We quickly targeted the period and got rid of the backlog, and therefore any compliance legislation, we actually have recommendation letters that have indicated to less than 31 days, so when that company raises less than 31 days. But we'd like to know if you pick up anything from somewhere, what potential should be with that. Also, one thing I didn't mention is the first category, if a client discovers that contractor has applied with us and has not been registered within the time. The client can actually talk to us. We have a fast-tracking unit that will deal specifically with all the contractors that have tendered for their customer project so that they can get registered as soon as possible so that they can see what can actually happen. We do tell clients what is about this and they're taking it out. Just that we're betting this lack of capacity within the client pool. We find that they will not test without knowing and must fields where 30% of black ownership is actually promoted, but others is not. It's dynamic up. Besides the cable that Malay brothers or women are the but you know, it's more complicated than that. But the others below there, they are in the but later on, that information may be available on the charter calls or the gas call, I'm sure we can get on our website. My colleagues will help me with anything that I'm doing, so I'm going through the weekend. Capacity in Pretoria, we're spreading out to different provinces. We believe that there is actually alleviate the pressure from our capacity. The role of the CID in terms of you know, developing contractors, again, the development should not be confused with providing that training. Development should actually happen when contractors have a project and design manages that project while it is developed. And good when it's classified and duty down when you can actually show to other contractors that this is how we're doing so that we know that it's being classified. We are busy with the regulation amendment. Nobody has been along this time. We have in certain areas to improve the process. We've been doing this at this every year, but we believe that it should come to a stop at a certain point. Otherwise, we will just get confused to think that something has changed. But it's exciting that the regulations that are going up to the November 2007 this year, and therefore the change that we will be making, that could respond to quite a number of things that we've seen. Now, may have taken quite a long time to summarize these, but I think it's been appropriate to actually see. May I request that we actually establish a line of communication between ourselves and ourselves and dedicate that sort of line of talking in terms of email. If you've got to do any registration issue, that you actually communicate with the Mola. If it's related to procurement reform, director to him, but I think brought me, myself, and other government managers, we will just wait for direction in terms of what these issues are. After you actually add value to the comments that you're raising, when with your outside you're going to different problems, you may actually touch people that you've never spoken to before. So we actually appreciate the contribution.
As we will be moving again to other provinces, if you could liaise with the office of the chairperson, give us a list of requirements for registration, so that we are able to say, did you provide this, you know, give us all that, and perhaps contact for Mr. Muller as well, so that, I mean, as a committee, we can actually begin to. I'm not sure whether a requirement for first-time people are the same with upgrading, but if we can actually list all those requirements for us so that we are able to improve and engage people at that level as well before we come to.
I think that talks to a user guide. That must be standard, not for the power. I'll tell you why. You know, all members of parliament should make that so that they can also assist in their constituency offices. Because our offices also serve as your CCC. So if you can just assist us with that. But I should thank Comrade Monty for having raised that, because I think in the second week of July, we'll be heading to the Eastern Cape. And I know somewhere around Queenstown, there have been some complaints, you know, coming up from that area. I think we have reached a point where I'd ask Mr. Khadra to thank the student and the Democratic Party. Mr.
Khadra. Thank you for this opportunity. What I'd like to say just in a few minutes is that when this meeting today, we're able to appreciate the importance of this event. Because as we go down, as a pastoral commission, meeting the people on the ground, we get all these expectations which come from the people, and then the frustration they get when their expectations are not met. Yeah. We appreciate the program which you have put in place, in particular in opening up the city for us over country so that it can be accepted. I think that this meeting of the data will not be the last one. I think that it can happen quite happy. So that we are able to update each other what is happening with the ground. Because I think the mandate which we are having as a pastoral committee is to ensure that
there's a better life for all in the Republic of South Africa. I think as an entity of government, it is also a boost to ensure that there's really better life for everyone on the ground. So thanks a lot for this transition and made. I think it's worth a lot for us. I appreciate also the committee, personal committee members, their dedication and the passion they have when we move all over the country. Because you are the one that's driving what I'm trying to explore is that you are faced with a barrage of questions. At the same time, we have to defend you. I remember it in Bagni. I have to stand up and defend the CIGP. People have never seen it before. And I have to I appreciate that my work was not in the. I see what they're trying to do. Let's work together as a team and build a better society and a better South Africa and a better Africa and the world. Thank you.
Thank you very much, all the members, and to all the members share as well. It's a good opportunity for us to interact with you. Believe that we can reach out to quite a lot of people just by interacting with you. And as I indicated before, we appreciate the fact that you've taken comments very seriously and you defend us, which is quite appreciated. As I indicated, our chairperson, not a chairman, he did indicate to us that in the future, when he knows whether there is time and can manipulate his schedule, he would also like to be part of this process. In future, I think we will actually be coming with some board members to make sure that the image of what we're trying to do has a level of credibility. I think the members that are here should be prepared to come, but because of our traveling schedule as well, it might be more the people that are not here that come and present to you. We have some exciting programs where perhaps in one of the meetings we may invite Julia and staff members to, if they specialize in a particular area, to just give a presentation on a specific area and make sure that they can be able to do that. We will actually send a package that deals with guidelines to registration. We'll send that to your office, but by the time you go to the SMC, you've gone through that yourself. And if you need any explanation, we'll actually do that fairly. We'll see also if you can't send somebody to join when you go there without conflicting with the role that you'll be playing, but making sure that they can respond to the questions you put to the members. Thank you.
Very much. Yeah. We have done it, and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Can you perhaps help me just with a few names? Just on the list. The lady with the, she had an orange jacket. Which one is she? And the other lady that was sitting next to her. Okay, and then the other gentleman that spoke over here. He was acting chair. Oh no, he was chair. Okay, Offerman spoke, I know him. I don't think anybody else spoke. Yeah, okay, I had him. The one who made? Okay. Okay, thanks. Thanks so much. Say again? When did I start? 2 months ago, I think. Why? Oh, well, you were there before. Why aren't you there anymore? Oh. It's a stupid question. You've been headhunted. Oh, are you with the office? Oh. Why did you quit at Kotaku? It seems like a nice place to work. This is a better position. Hello? Hello? Hello?